You hear Paula Poundstone most weekends on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me right here on KBSX. Throughout her almost 40-year career, along with being an NPR celebrity, she's been an author, late-night TV personality, and actress. Ahead of her appearance in Boise Saturday night, I spoke to Paula about her lengthy and varied careers, landing the Wait, Wait gig, and getting her start.
Well, let's see. I was 19 years old when I started. I was bussing tables in Boston, and I started doing open mic night. So it's not like I turned my back on a law career. I wanted to see what clubs were like in different cities. And so I took a Greyhound bus around the country, and I ended up in San Francisco. And I stayed there for a couple of years, telling my little jokes. And then I went down to Los Angeles, told some more little jokes, and spent the last 37 years touring. And really, I got Wait, Wait in the most boring of ways. They called me up and asked me. They sent me an audio cassette tape so that I could, you know, listen and know what the show was. And I put that audio cassette tape on the island in my kitchen. The island did exactly what I thought it would do, which is things piled up on it. And among them were this Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me cassette tape. And one day while it was laying there, my nanny saw it. She said, oh, you have to do that show. That's a great show. Because of the pressure of my nanny.
It launched your NPR chapter.
It did. And the show was different back then. We were not in front of an audience. I don't know. I think they had like a sponsoring station in maybe Boulder. Asked them if they would come do it in front of an audience there. And they did. And after they had tasted the wine of a live audience, they found a home for themselves in the basement of a bank in downtown Chicago.
Along the way, you've worked with some great comedians and personalities, Robin Williams, Jay Leno, and others. So who stands out in your memory as either being like a really great person to work with or just a total nightmare? Feel free to name names.
You know, luckily, I've never worked with anybody that was a total nightmare. Because I ended up in San Francisco, and that's where Robin lived, we became friends. He was the reason many of us were working. In fact, I would argue that he was the reason that anybody my generation and younger of comic is working. In the late 70s, he sort of repopularized stand-up comedy.
Do you attribute your early success to him helping you and sort of launching you?
I do, but as I said, I mean, it's not just me, it's lots and lots of us. The thing was that the audiences really had an interest in Robin Williams, and they came to the clubs because they thought Robin Williams might show up. And in the meantime, they saw the rest of us, and they decided they liked us too.
So it was Robin Williams trickle-down.
It was Robin Williams trickle-down. Now, I don't think it works in economics. But in comedy, I don't know, it did work.
You never do the same act twice, I hear, and you rely a lot on improv. Is it hard coming up on the fly with jokes in a theater that I'm going to assume has a fair amount of savvy NPR listeners in it?
No, it isn't. You know what it is? It's a glorified conversation. Just like any other conversation, you say some things that you've said many times before. Sometimes people even say to you, tell that story again. Sometimes you tell a story again because you don't remember you told it the first time, which I'm certainly guilty of. You know, there's always sort of news and things moving through it. My favorite part of the night is just plain talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm going to be guilty of now asking you to tell me a story. You're going to be appearing at the Egyptian Theater in Boise on Saturday night. So tell me an Idaho story. What stands out to you about this place?
Well, the large potato sculpture at the baggage claim is hard to miss. You know, I always wondered if Idaho people were sensitive about their potato reputation. Then while I was waiting for my bags and I see a big, huge potato sculpture, I realized, I guess not. You know, I'll tell you, when you do the drive from California to there, there are huge, long, very, very dry stretches. You know, I'll finally find one of those little convenient markets and gas station things, you know, and you see the people in there. It's like, my gosh, that's the same lady that was in there the last time I came through. I realized I don't think those people have ever left. I think they're raised in there. Like, they live on nothing but Red Bull and hot Cheetos. One of the grocery stores that I went to in Idaho, I think it was one of those places that sold, like, wedding dresses and overalls.
You got to cover all your bases really, really effectively. It's a very isolated place.
Well, the people that I met there were very nice, I must say.
Well, Paula Poundstone, you are going to be appearing at the Egyptian Theater Saturday night here in Boise. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
It was nice talking with you. Thank you so much.